We continue our reading of the prophet Isaiah, turning today to Isaiah 19, verses 1 to 15. I'm not sure if we have the pew Bibles here. I don't think we do, so I will not announce those numbers. But open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah 19, verses 1 to 15. Now, we have another judgment passage. This time the target is mighty Egypt, wealthy Egypt. Oh, wise Egypt with its exalted pharaohs. But he begins and he says, behold, the Lord is riding on a swift cloud and comes to Egypt. Now that imagery is very potent. No matter how rich you are, no matter how powerful you are as Egypt, you can't stop the clouds from bringing what they will over your land. And when God comes to judge, there will be no wealth, there will be no power, there will be no riches to fend off that judgment. And we see the judgment working in several ways. The opening verses, starting in verse 2, talks about internal division, that there will be strife within, and how that will destroy any people. I've been reading the book of Judges in my personal devotions, and it's like when Gideon brought that little band of 300, and there was a mighty host of Moabites, but God caused them to fight each other. And when God brings eternal strife, there will be downfall, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. The spirit of the Egyptians will be emptied out. They will be confounded. There's nothing they can do in and of themselves to fend off a judgment like that. He then talks about the economic basis. I will cause the river, that's the Nile River, to be dry and parched. Now that was the whole basis of their way of life, of their power, of their religion. The mighty Nile, it was always providing a bounty until God were to pollute it. You know, it reminds us, there's much talk as we draw closer to political seasons. There's economic systems in the air, capitalism, socialism, different versions of both, and there are differences that are meaningful, but none of them matter if God is to turn in judgment upon a people. It is never enough to have the right combination of policies and virtues if one is to offend the true and living God and bring his judgment. He can pollute the Nile. He can make it all come to naught. And then at the end, the council will be foolish. The princes of Zoan, those were leaders, they will be made foolish and they will give stupid counsel. Now, you've probably been thinking, this reminds me of a nation near me where, because of people turn away from God, suddenly family units don't even get along, and brothers and sisters are in strife. Marriages can't stick together. Why? Because of the inevitable effects of sin and its power. But then when an offended God brings judgment, this is the kind of thing that happens. People say to me, Pastor, do you think God will ever judge America? And I always want to respond, biblically, there is you don't get the kinds of remarkable collapses we've had in so many ways in our society, biblically, without the judgment of God. I don't have some special insight other than to read my Bible and say, I'm awfully worried that we would be under the judgment of God. Internal division, our whole, is that not the issue in our nation today? There is no answer for the divides in our country today. Racial, gender, ideological, whatever they are, class, other than Jesus Christ. And without Christ, there will only be strife, and then the economy will not be, that engine will not fire on all its cylinders. And, oh, you think of the foolish council. Really, it's hard to find in the history of human civilization the kind of obvious folly, the obvious, using Isaiah's language, stupidity that is now settled policy in branches of government and certainly in our arts and media and whatnot. He says, I will make Egypt stagger as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. It is a coarse and ugly picture, but it's a real one. Well, what happens to nations happens in individual lives, happens in families. What is the way out? There's only one way out. That we would repent of our proud autonomy, that we would cease being our own little gods. Oh, the vanity and stupidity of that and what it produces. That we would come back to God. We come at the cross, where a God of grace gives mercy through the blood of his Son. There is no other message for Egypt, for America today, that can possibly remedy this just action on the part of God other than a message of salvation in Christ delivered through the lips of peoples whose lives bear the mark of spiritual authenticity. My friends, we read this ancient passage. It says to us there is an urgent need for real Christians who bear the marks of the power of the Holy Spirit and whose lips and hearts cry out, "Oh, there is a Savior. God has sent His Son. God has not abandoned us in His love. Come to Him and be saved." Well, with these things said, let us give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. An oracle concerning Egypt. "Behold, the Lord is riding on a swift cloud and comes to Egypt, and the idols of Egypt will tremble at His presence, and the heart of the Egyptians will melt within them. And I will stir up Egyptians against Egyptians, and they will fight each against another and each against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of the Egyptians within them will be emptied out, and I will confound their counsel. And they will inquire of the idols and the sorcerers and the mediums and the necromancers, and I will give over the Egyptians into the hand of a hard master. And a fierce king will rule over them, declares the Lord God of hosts. And the waters of the sea will be dried up, and the river will be dry and parched, and its canals will become foul, and the branches of Egypt's Nile will diminish and dry up. Reeds and rushes will rot away. There will be bare places by the Nile, on the brink of the Nile. And all that is sown by the Nile will be parched, will be driven away, and will be no more. The fishermen will mourn and lament, all who cast a hook in the Nile, and they will languish, who spread nets on the water. The workers in combed flax will be in despair, and the weavers of white cotton, those who are the pillars of the land, will be crushed, and all who work for pay will be grieved. The princes of Zoan are utterly foolish. The wisest counselors of Pharaoh give stupid counsel. How can you say to Pharaoh, 'I am a son of the wise, a son of ancient kings'? Where then are your wise men? Let them tell you that they might know what the Lord of hosts has purposed against Egypt. The princes of Zoan have become fools, and the princes of Memphis are deluded. Those who are the cornerstones of their tribes have made Egypt stagger. The Lord has mingled within her a spirit of confusion, and they will make Egypt stagger in all its deeds, as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. And there will be nothing for Egypt that head or tail, palm branch or reed may do. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen."